welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Oh yeah, baby.
Back.
One slurp. Well, if you hear that sound, it means it's Friday.
Gotta get down on Friday.
And then the weekend. I don't know the song anymore.
Do you guys hear, is it just me or do you hear extra voices, Evan?
I haven't heard an extra voice yet, but I mean, I'm hearing that. I heard a third, like,
there's a third.
Friday. You know, I'm not, get down on Friday. If you listen to us, you know what you're getting is like the lowest level of intelligence.
Yeah, you know, I get DMs saying that we're supposed to listen to this other podcast.
Yeah, because it's like
Bachelor, because we do a shitty job of it.
We're like people that go on and be like, this is how you need to live your life. And then there's actual doctors out there who are like educated in the system. Mm-hmm. And we are the antithesis of that. So we thought it was appropriate to bring on doctors. That's what I call them, doctors. Yeah. And these guys are, I would say well-versed.
They're not just doctors, they're authors.
Authors, doctors. Well-versed is not even an appropriate term to use when it comes to these guys. But we have on our podcast.
How else would you guys describe yourselves?
I don't know. I mean, I've never been described as a doctor, that's for sure.
He's been described as a warlock.
I have been described as a warlock, an edgelord.
A vampire.
Sometimes I'm called a vampire. Yeah. Things of that nature.
We have
a
vampire, warlock, doctor, author.
And they are legends. That is the voice of Bachelor Clues and Pace Case.
Hello.
The legends themselves.
Hey, they're guys. Here.
Hi, thank you so much for
thank
having
you for
us.
Having
this
us.
Is a great
what an
honor
intro.
For us.
This is huge, man, because these people are the OGs, and Jess and Becca have been friends with them forever, have talked with them forever, and I'm not saying we're special. I'm not saying that we
I
have an incredible
right now,
ability
though.
To pull guests, but like this is the first in-person interview.
All I know is it's unofficially official that they denied Becca and Jess and said they only come.
I'm not saying
on
they
bros.
Did that, mm-hmm. but look at the facts.
They're here and they're not on theirs.
I didn't say it. You said it.
Just saying.
You know what I mean? It's
I'm
not
just
a big
saying.
Deal.
I'm just saying it too.
They might have the pull in the industry, but we are likable.
Yeah,
and that's just who we are.
Yeah, it's sad for Jack and Jess. How
that's exactly
they
what
are.
We said. Jess was like, "Do you guys want to come on our show?" And we said, "Is there somebody more likable that we could talk to?
Someone who's doing their own research into The Bachelor, doesn't really trust, you know, the facts."
Right. We're not facts based.
Who we like to hang
facts
with?
Facts to us are irrelevant.
We follow feelings.
This is an emotion podcast.
Fantastic.
You guys released a book.
Yeah.
And when this book showed up at the house, I was like, what is this book? And then I saw who was like, oh my gosh, it's from them. And you open it up. And when you first open this book up, you're thinking, you know, coffee table book at first. You're thinking, open it up. Maybe there's some fun pictures in there. No. This is a curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said doctors. This is a scientific journal.
Yeah. In writing it, I mean, our whole idea for this book originally was that The Bachelor is a sport. And part of recognizing that and analyzing it as a sport means that you get to break it down statistically, just like baseball, football, basketball, hockey all have been for many decades at this point. And so we watched everything in The Bachelor, not Bachelorette, but just The Bachelor, season 1, episode 1 through season 25, episode 12, in order, on 2x speed, meticulously recorded every play that's ever been made, every tear that's ever been shed, kiss that has ever been planted. And that book is the statistical result of everything that's ever been done in the game with strategies based on those statistical metrics to teach you how to do what you should be doing in any given situation, how you can effectively, in quotes, win The Bachelor.
There's a few pictures, so it's good for the coffee table as well.
Yeah, it's definitely for the coffee table as well, but I just was not expecting the level of depth. And just going through it, what's awesome about it too is it just has this like hilarious tone to it because you're looking at it and the words themselves are like so serious. But then the overall tone is like breaking down this show in a super serious way, which is extremely enthralling. Because the second you start reading it, you're like, what? Wait, what? That does make sense. Oh, my God, I did see that. Wait, I'm seeing that again. Wait, how? like with all these predictable metrics that are unbelievable.
I love this.
I mean, they created Hooju.
Yes.
Yeah, we
which
did.
Is insane. Which is the, can you describe this to our beloved listeners?
I'll let Clues take this one since this is his favorite sub-sport.
Well, we very early on recognized that like all sports have their own lexicons. Like in baseball, there's 100 different ways you can call something a home run, a dinger, going yard, a homer, or whatever. And so we thought if we're going to treat this like a sport, we need to have a lexicon that describes all the different plays that players can make or the different circumstances in the game. And so Hooju was one of the first ones that we came up with, which is a shortened version of hug jump, which is what all the players do when they run to the guy. Usually it's in late phases of the regular season toward hometowns, but now we're seeing it very early. People are doing it on group dates. You'll see people sprinting away from the pack to get in an early Hooju in like week two or three, right. Which is fantastic. But yeah, we really like the Hoojus, and that term now has been sucked up into the game itself. Producers use it. They call it that to players when they're telling them what to do. We've seen Tyler Cameron use it in an Entertainment Weekly or E! Online interview. We've seen Jesse Palmer use it in the official Bachelor Instagram page in the comments. So
we saw Blake Moynes use it when he won the finale of Katie Thurston's season. Dude, in that post.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Wow,
we're trying to get it on the show
too. I pulled it up because it's just so unbelievable.
I like the earmarks. Like
I was like flipping through it. I was like,
yeah, I was like, that's not the book they just bought. So you have your own copy. This one.
Well, I had an item.
Well worn, dude. Spine broken.
I had an early release. And this has been sitting around, and I'm like, dude, this
studied.
Once you read that, you will be a doctor. So yeah.
I'm impressed. Evan's always like, I don't read.
Right.
And then he's over here secretly just got his own playbook. This thing's weathered.
Dude, I got to get my like info in. Then there's another one in here, and it's the house strategy section.
Uh-huh.
And there's an awesome illustration of two women eating spaghetti next to each other. There was one specific little subcategory here that I identify with extremely strong, and we talk about it all the time, which is they're always listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about this because we're like, on multiple levels, there's this thought of like, did you forget you're on a television show?
And how long did it take you to forget?
Because they'll just act normal, and then all of a sudden, they'll just say things where it's like, that lives forever. And you're not trying to be a villain. You're just a normal person on the show, and you're saying crazy stuff that like you're going to have to pay for later.
What's her face? Cassidy, at the very beginning of this season, where it was like, she's like coaching people on how to get through this. Like, she's coming in so confident, and then you literally have her on tape, on camera, being like, yeah, I'm seeing this other dude at home.
Wait, yeah. I don't recognize that voice. I thought Cassidy was always Bane voice.
Oh, no. Right.
Sorry.
Well, we're just trying to like, you know, because we don't know if you know this.
Long time listener, first time caller. Yeah.
You guys are our first ever in-person interview.
Yeah.
So,
and you guys it's an esteemed position. Each other as well, right?
Yeah, we started doing it in person, but then once the pandemic hit and everybody was locked down, we started Zooming, and now that's
so easy.
What we do.
Yeah.
For every episode, really. But the thing you're talking about, always being recorded, I mean, there's a lot of nuance to that idea, because yes, you're always being recorded, but the producers also get to decide, as Grocery Store Joe put it on clickbait, in quotes, who you wind up being. The cut that they're going to give of you, that will depend on how far you go in the game. If they know you're a ring winner, you're going to get protected. If they know that you could potentially be the next Bachelorette, you're going to get protected. Even if you're going to be a favored player that might wind up on Paradise or something, they're going to protect you in the edit. So you can say whatever you want. I would point you to like Becca Kufrin on Bachelor in Paradise season 7, the most recent season, virtually not in the document. They completely removed her in order to protect her because she is going to be now in a successful relationship with the big body trash can.
Thomas Jacobs.
Big body trash can. I love that.
Yeah, but she's also the host of one of their company podcasts where Warner Brothers gets kind of double dip into the profits. They make money off the show and they make money off the podcast, which uphold whatever the narratives are that are promoted in the show. So she can kind of do whatever she wants, as can Grocery Store Joe, Natasha Parker, at this point, Tia Booth. Anybody who's on one of those shows is safe. They're protected.
Players have been messing this up since season one, though. We saw Shannon Oliver.
Yep.
Season one, during her fantasy suite, gets in a fight with Alex Michelle, the Bachelor. And they think they're in a closed door, but they're filming from outside the window and they still have their mics on. And so I think people forget every season. I think you just get used to the camera being in front of you. I forgot right now that we're being recorded.
That's true, right? You, like, it does,
I just feel so comfortable.
Well, yeah, and that, it's like the Shanae thing that happened, you know, like when everyone's in the family room or whatever, like talking about her, and then she's like fakely lying on the bed.
I love that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden she just goes, yeah, and then stands up and just goes, what?
Yeah.
And I'm just going, okay, so obviously they were talking and the producers ran over and like set her up and did all that. But the girls were just sitting there like going off on her. And I'm just always wondering,
That's produced too, though. Those are called girl chats. So the producers will say, you, and you, come here, sit on this couch, talk about Shanae. Whether Shanae is actually listening to them or not, I don't know. That could have been completely acted. I'm not positive that she actually was listening to them through the doorway or through the wall. But I mean, everything you see on the show is orchestrated. And I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. It's really pro wrestling, like 100%. And the villains are made into villains. They're like, yes, she's saying what she's saying. I'm not saying she's not, but in some cases she's not, because they will cut their dialogue together to make them say things they never said.
It's interesting because Becca has like half and half, in her opinion, she's like, it's half and half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like they're forcing a natural situation to get exacerbated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not like Shanae, it's not like producers asked her to do whatever the hell she's doing. She did that. And then they're like, that's awesome. Now let's just keep cycling that through. Let's keep creating those situations. At least as far as like the way she explained it, she's like, so much of what happens through their interactions is still there. But like as far as staging things going, or like the one that stands out to my mind is the girl, I forget what season, but she had the champagne bottle.
Kelsey Weir. And Hannah Ann Sluss.
And it was
she's
like,
the one pictured in that hoodoo drawing.
So obvious. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so obvious, though, that they allowed her to set up her little experience and then just immediately brought someone to it. And it's like, that stuff to me is like, that's not that girl's fault that she just, producers just told her there's a bottle of champagne there. You should take him here.
Of course.
Or the cell phone plant, where was the big fight about the guy?
Ivan Hall.
What the fuck? Like, anyone who actually thinks that he just is opening up a cell phone?
Yes.
A producer left their cell phone. Who has like an hour long lock, you know, my phone's been left alone for an hour because of the masks.
Okay. And it was open to the thing that had all the hotel numbers.
Because of the masks.
That's what they said.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Literally, it's so hard to just slide your mask to keep your FaceTime thing on so you don't have to use, like, seriously?
Hey, those producers, every second matters. And if they can save time by not having to, of course, it's all lies. But I mean, that's what the show is. It's creating this product that, I mean, we don't have these numbers. I'm super curious about them always. How much of the audience watching the show believes it's all real versus how much of the audience believes most of it is not? I don't know. I think it's probably more believe it's all real than not.
I think it's like pro wrestling, right? Like, honestly, like if you were to talk to a pro wrestling fan and be like, be honest with yourself, is The Rock actually acting? They'd be like, well, yeah. But then they turn it off the second they get to the Honda Center.
But also,
because they're wanting it to be real. They're wanting it to be wild. They're wanting it to be fun. Like, you don't want to watch it while if you think it's fake. So, like, I honestly think there's a level of like, when we watch it, the more people that watch it have this thought of like, was that a setup? And then they just go, oh, shut up.
Yeah, but there's
I want it to be real, you know?
They also don't not. I mean, this is where to me, I'm like, well, you guys are the experts. So this is where I am literally just being like, no, it's real. There's parts of it that are real.
Yeah. I did like that moment.
It's very sweet.
He breaks it down and then you go, well, actually,
it's not like
coming out of nowhere.
Of course. But I appreciate you defending your faith.
Yeah. No. Well, it'd be interesting to have her talk about that, because like,
she made a very deep run in season 22 and was one of the best players, certainly of that season, in some ways of all time.
One of the best RQs.
Yeah, one of the best Rose quotients that we've ever seen. But I think different players get different treatment as well. And so you can't uniformly say like, well,
it's
this much real and this much not. Some players' entire experiences are fabricated. If you look at like Olivia Caridi, They made her a villain out of nothing. She literally did no villainous behaviors, and they cut her into a villain just because they needed one mid-season. Because
you have to have one.
Just like pro wrestling. You have to have the heel character so that the audience can hate them. And now they, again, further that narrative on all the company podcasts. They'll have the people who are supposedly victimized by the villain show up on those podcasts to shit-talk the villain without the villain being there to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah, they never bring the villains on.
That's right.
And you're also never going to see something like a champagne gate happen to a front runner. You're never going to see Susie Evans's cherished champagne that she brought from home explode in her face. That's actually a fake champagne bottle. That's not going to happen because she's a front runner. They protect her. They give her her little mini dates. And
as you've seen with her edit, she's barely in the show so that you can't form any opinion of her because there is a portion of Bachelor Nation, the audience, that is, you know, very enthusiastic, shall we say. And if they don't like you, you're done.
Okay, broads, interrupting the bros. Listen, if you're the type of person that can, like, visualize a goal and then immediately know what you need to do to get there and then actually follow through to the end, I love you, but I cannot relate to you, okay? Some of us, definitely including myself here, need a little help making those types of changes. I've tried a lot of things, but the one thing I want to tell you about today is Fabulous. It's been a total game changer for me.
This app is such a good idea. Okay, so good. Fabulous is the habit-changing app. It gives you the tools and skills you need to feel healthier, more productive, and fulfilled, and it'll help you break free of negative habits while helping you build new healthy habits that actually stick using behavioral science. So, I mean, speaking from experience, a lot of people have really big, lofty goals, me, that never quite make it off the ground, me, because there's no small steps in place to help you get there. So Fabulous is there to help. It'll help you break down your long-term healthy habits and goals into small tasks that you can do daily. And before you know it, what was once a long-term goal is now a reality.
Mm-hmm. And here's an example. This year, I just want to be better at taking care of myself overall. I can tend to ignore those necessities because of life, and it can seem daunting. But with the help of Fabulous, the goal is now divided up into daily tasks like drinking more water, first and foremost, 30 minutes of being outside, unplugging before bedtime. You get the idea. And let me tell you, those tasks really do add up. Fabulous helps me track my progress and keeps me in line all year long. It's been a really great accountability partner to help me achieve those goals, and it's reminding me to drink my water every day.
Yes.
I have it right here.
Start building your ideal daily routine with Fabulous Premium. You're going to get 25% off Fabulous Premium by going to thefab.co/chatty. That's thefab.co/chatty for 25% off Fabulous Premium. That's thefab.co/chatty.
Look, broads, I don't care if your man is the most hygienic person on the planet. Everyone can use a little assistance to keep those parts squeaky clean. I mean, it only makes sense. After all, the groin is the most odor-prone area of the body and a breeding ground for bacteria. Okay. Delightful, right? Not quite. But that's where Ballsy comes in.
Hey, and Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Ballsy makes quality, long-lasting products, specially formulated to keep him comfortable, confident, and super clean. Each product is made from the best ingredients, like essential oils and plant extracts. You're never going to find any sulfates, parabens, synthetic dyes, or anything else that could diminish the jewels. If you or your guy are a little confused on exactly what products you need, head to Ballsy's website and take their starter quiz. It's going to help you create a customized system to help keep things neat and tidy, or go straight for the Sack Pack, which includes all of Ballsy's best-selling products. Mm-hmm. Sack Pack.
The Sack Pack. We all know Valentine's Day, like Becca's saying, is right around the corner, and a gift set from Ballsy makes the perfect Valentine's Day treat. And let's be honest, we all know I will be using it on Valentine's Day with my partner. Yay, love the balls. So far, Ballsy has over 200,000 happy customers, and it's for a good reason. But hey, if you get something that doesn't quite work, no problem. Ballsy has a 30-day money-back guarantee on all purchases.
Nice. So keep the funk off your man's junk, mm-hmm. Right now, if you go to ballwash.com and put in promo code ChattyBroads20, you'll receive 20% off. That's 20% off plus free shipping when you go to ballwash.com and put in promo code ChattyBroads20.
And that's my favorite website name.
When you guys watch the show now, how do you watch it? You know what I mean? Because like we watch it.
Oh my God.
Because I watch it and we're like, no, dude, this is insane.
You know, because we watch it and we are like the 13-year-old kid who goes to WWE. Like we are forcing ourselves to believe in Santa. Yeah. Because we fight against it because it just, and we're also much more gullible than you clearly are.
I'm pretty gullible.
You know what I mean? So we kind of tend to get like really wrapped up in it. Even though deep down we do know, but so when you watch it, what's the enjoyment section of it for you? Is it like, oh my, I like thinking like a producer and like watching the art of the creation? Yeah. Is it like, I like to kind of blind myself to the reality? Like, what is your experience now?
For me, I'm watching it hunched over, just typing the entire time. I'm collecting all of the statistics. So whenever they're playing certain plays, we keep track of. So one of our biggest terms that we use is the PTC, which is the personal tragedy card. So whenever someone plays that,
one of our favorites,
that's a huge move. And usually I'll say like, this might be my play of the game. This might be my play of the game for a few different things. We're counting the tears, the kisses. So it's more statistical and like, what is a good play? So like this past week, I really liked Gabby Windy getting down on the ground and having the dog make out with her. I thought that was a really good play. I really liked Susie Evans's mini date where she unroasted Clayton and gave him all the compliments and stuff. Mm-hmm. But also the dramatic moments where they play their PTC, usually that's played at the night portion of the date. And there's different structure to a PTC that you want, but you want it to be believable and genuine, and you want to show how it has affected your life and how it has changed you to the person you are now, which makes you ready for this love adventure.
Wow.
Yeah. I just watch it like a sport, kind of like a sport mixed with the Matrix. Like, it's just a wall of numbers to me now. And
yeah, like if I was watching it with you, I wouldn't see it. It would just be numbers flashing.
It's, I mean, navigating. Chad used to watch it like this. He was just taking a picture of every second of the screen.
I'm typing notes with one hand and like taking pictures of my TV screen with the other hand so I can make a million memes. But for me, it really is like watching a sport. I like seeing new plays or new play styles emerge that we haven't seen before or in a long time. Like Shanae Ankeny, for example, is like a classic villain. We've never seen something like that.
That's
since
what
maybe
I was
going
to say. This is, to me, I was going to ask your opinion. I don't feel like it's fabricated at all. I think she's like,
interesting.
What?
I think it is 100%.
Oh, you think she's like,
do you think like they're asking, sort of, like, do you think they're asking her to do these things or like,
yeah.
So, okay. So then you think producers are being like, we want you to do X, Y, and Z.
I think they have basically made a backroom deal with her to be on Paradise if she delivers the drama.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny you said that we haven't seen someone like her in a while, and there's obviously a lot to talk about there. We can get there, but like my whole feeling with her is like every villain, and let me be I'll just be very honest with you too. I haven't watched enough to have a formulated opinion on this. This is just bullshit. But
doesn't
like,
matter.
This is bro science all the way. But like,
it's real science.
It's real science to me, and I think that's what matters.
You have the microphone.
I'm talking now, so it's true. Okay. All the other villains I've seen, there's a level of like, they're playing a character. I sense the character. I sense the over-the-top thing, the Queen Victoria kind of like, you know, it's like when you watch American Idol back in the day, and then someone would come on and be like, I'm a good singer, and then they'd sing horrible, and you're like, oh, you're just an insane person. Or you're so like out of your mind that like this is a reality to you. But Shanae, like with the acting and like the fake crying and then being like, got him, and then nailed it and like all this kind of stuff, it feels a lot more psychopath. Like it feels like I'm watching her going like, this is what
she
I do at home.
She enjoys it.
She's
so
like, this is
much.
What I do with my boyfriends in the past. I manipulate them. I use them. I get them to do what I want. I cry when I'm thinking and I get the what, and then I'm off.
Yeah.
There's something about her that feels a lot more scary than previous ones. But you're saying that she's just maybe more talented at it?
No, I mean, she's playing a bad game for sure because she's going to go home this next week.
Doesn't have that many followers.
Yeah. And in a modern era, like now, we see villains getting very few followers. And in some cases, they even see big backslides like Brenna Marias did on Bachelor in Paradise season 7. But I think she is tactical in this. I also think when you get in that situation, it's obviously a competition. You walk into that house, it's you and 30 other players vying for essentially the end slot, whatever that means to you, whether you want to get married and have kids with this guy, or you just want to see how far you can make it in the game. I think that has an effect on people. And whatever kind of version of a competitive person you are comes out, for her, it's that. It's a highly adversarial form of competition where she's picking targets and trying to knock them out of the game so that she can advance. Other players have a more subtle kind of competitive tone that they play with, where they make friends with the other players. And, oh, we can go through as a team. Or you have floater strategy, where you're just trying to make it maybe to the playoffs. But to get that top four, to go to hometowns, which is the first round of playoffs, you have to be one of the two people that the lead selects as a possible ring winner, or two of the people that the producers are selecting for either like a funny hometown, or they see you as potentially a bachelorette.
See, because I've always thought of it just like humans, like I see like the more psychological breaks in people of like the, like you're looking at it as like the strategy to make friends. And I look at it more as like, that's just like this person's knee jerk reaction walking into a room full of strangers. It's like, I'd rather make friends with people than like be like unique or stand out or be like in opposition to the room full of people. And then there's people in my mind or like my experience in life who are like, if they encounter that, their reaction is to like toughen themselves to it and just make an enemy out of everyone in the room and like survive and feed off that like hate of like, I hate all these people. They're all stupid. They're all beneath me. And that stuff, like, when I see someone get like in the football games or like in the physical challenges, when you see real like antagonistic fucking like, I want to fuck this person up, I'm like, I don't see how a manipulated situation could produce like real anger in that way to like hurt somebody. We see it in the guys' seasons and we see it in this, like,
it's, there's potentially millions of dollars on the line.
Right.
Like, this isn't just a game to see if you can fall in love. If you walk out of this with 500,000 Instagram followers, you're a millionaire. You're going to maybe have a podcast. You're going to sell whatever kind of spawn con you want. That's the game. And when you're, when those are the stakes, like, for sure people are going to get hyper competitive.
It's a game of time. It's designed that way. And so the football game is what we call a play for time, which is only the winning team gets to go to the after party.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the group dates are like that, sometimes they're not, and you often have the competitive level go above and beyond what you might think when you have to go home and you don't get to go to the after party if you lose. And we also, I mean, we encourage everyone to watch old seasons, but you often in a play for time have someone crash the after party who was on the losing team, or The Bachelor becomes benevolent and is like, actually, the losers can come also, because they've already gotten the competitiveness out of the players.
Have you guys looked at, sorry, I just my one question on this is, I feel like there's been a decrease in followers in the last few seasons, maybe because the show the last few seasons was just not as good as the seasons before COVID, in my own opinion. But for whatever reason, like, we've been like, because that's something I always ask is like, how many followers is this person up to? What are they at? Yeah. And it's been like, I think like Becca's season was the last season where you had people like hitting like million, like a couple people from the show had over a million followers walking off the show. Subsequent players had like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Mm-hmm.
Becca had like 300,000 when she came off the show.
Mm.
And now you're seeing like top people having like low hundreds of thousands. It's not like Hannah Brown or Hannah Brown had like, she was like a major come off.
Her season, it was season 23, then Bachelor at 15 and Bachelor season 24 produced the highest Instagram follower counts of anyone. You've got Hannah Brown coming out of that, Tyler Cameron, Colton Underwood, Pilot Pete, all these players had 2 million. And that was like the
top insane.
But you're right. Now it is dwindling. We think it does have something to do with the what we call the bubble seasons, the three that they shot in quarantine. They were bad. The producing was terrible on them. They were recycling dates constantly. Mm-hmm. The first one started season 16 with what I'm calling Phantom Night 1. Lizzie disagrees with me, doesn't think this Phantom exists.
Phantom Night? What's Phantom Night?
They're going to love this. Okay. Not based on any fact.
Did you guys watch?
Oh, no facts? Let's hear
this. Hey, that's not true. There are facts.
No, facts don't matter. Facts have been thrown out universally. We all understand.
If the internet has taught us anything, facts are relative.
The next time that we have an interview with them, they're going to be wearing Phantom Night 1 shirts. I know it. Phantom Night 1 was real.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Just Phantom in the and just like I'm instantly like
instantly lured.
Nothing can be bad with the word phantom. No. It's such a sexy word.
If it's cool, it's true.
Oh, fuck. Phantom. All right. So, Phantom Night 1. Did you guys watch Bachelorette Season 16? This was Claire Crawley and Tayshia Adams.
As Claire, the two
Yeah, it's been forever,
so you'll have to help.
It was the first season in quarantine other than Listen to Your Heart. It had a very historic thing happen, which is Dale Moss came out of the limo. She said, "That's my husband." Mm-hmm. And they wrapped up their love story within three episodes. And she essentially said that she fell in love with him on Instagram.
Claire, yes.
She got engaged. Yeah, he fucking proposed to her. And they broke up
and they got back together and then broke up again, right? That's right, in real life. Yeah, that's correct.
You're right.
In RL.
So it was my theory that this was not possible. That there is absolutely no way this would have happened if she hadn't already met him. And I theorized that they already shot a night one at the mansion. Then the quarantine came in. They had to scuttle production, put everybody back in hotels or send them back home or whatever for 6 months until they started to shoot that season again.
And they were hanging out the whole six months.
And now there are little pieces of information coming through podcasts that are starting to corroborate this. I can't even remember the names of the players, but there are people who have let little drops.
Pieces can
no names. That's so strange. Their names are lost to time.
It's hard to figure it out in the moment. Sometimes it's when someone puts you on the spot. They say, "Oh, produce the facts." It's like, okay, you really want me to sit and argue through something is probably real?
For example,
you can see the curvature of the Earth.
I'll give you a for example.
But we know it's curved.
I have an example.
Okay.
You want me to conduct the science right now?
Blake Moynes was famously sitting next to
Kelly Flanagan
on a flight to Los Angeles. She was coming out for Pilot Pete's After the Final Rose. Blake Moynes was coming out to start his hotel stewardship or whatever for that season, for season 16. So he was in LA. All of those players have announced they were here in a hotel ready to go, ready to shoot that night one. And then supposedly the call came in that morning from ABC. We have to shut everything down. California's going into lockdown, supposedly. I think, though, if ABC has, or Warner Brothers, NZK Productions, they've got it all ready to go. They're not shooting night one. They're not pulling that trigger. The money's been spent. They're getting that footage.
They are, because they also, this is something coming from, have you guys seen the movie The Producers?
No.
Just the musical?
The musical.
Yeah.
It's about like basic premises. You can make money off of a total collapse. The studios were approving films through all of COVID, making money off the insurance from shutting down production. It was in their interest to have outbreaks happen, shut down production, cancel the film, and they would make money off of the insurance recycling coming into it. Because they were doing a lot of friends and family work in it. And that was like all the deals that were being done at the time were like super weird, like one-offs, where they were just basically the studio would only pay the star. And scripts would be bought on like as film basis. So it's like, depending on how much it actually goes in, you're only making like a small percentage of what happens. But the budget is pre-approved and insured for an entire shot, for an entire shoot. And if the whole thing gets shut down and closed, the studios collect insurance off of failed shoots. And that was stuff that was happening throughout like the whole time. It's really weird. But it sounds in line with this of like, in my mind, when a studio approves that, they're not letting every single day that a budget's approved to have people working on those, the scale of money that these places are spending to waste a day of filming, like I don't believe that they would just waste a day of filming once everything's put into place. If everyone's there, they're doing it, because this show is sort of like the more you have interactions going on, the more you're building this stuff, the more you have to mess with and the more you have to basically manipulate. So I am inclined to believe it. Phantom.
Counterpoint. Have you looked at Dale Moss's Instagram?
No, I don't even remember who Dale is.
Dale Moss is Claire Crawley's ring winner. He is amazing at Instagram. We thought he would be the ring winner based off of his Instagram. We try to predict based off of Instagram.
I remember he was very handsome.
He is. And Claire Crawley was looking at his Instagram for 6 months. She knew who all of her players were. Oh. I believe you can fall in love with someone on Instagram. I've watched the movie Her. I believe it. Right. And this has an actual body behind it. I Plus, you need all of these people.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you think that she had just been looking at him and like, it's so my type, watching his personality, falling in love with him. So when they actually connected and it was as good as she thought it would be or better, it was like, bam.
Or at the very least, they were DMing with one another. I think it's they were at least in communication despite their
disappearing
denial
DMs.
Of that.
You're putting someone on a pedestal where you're just like, you're falling in love with your idea of who this person is.
It's the power of the parasocial relationship.
I can relate to that because that's the way I feel about Tyler.
Yeah, we love Tyler.
We
Tyler
love
Cameron?
Tyler. Yeah.
Tyler.
Oh.
Are you watching his dancing show on Tyler right now?
Someone sent it to me as you guys were showing up, and I was like, what the hell is this? It's like
on a Dirty Dancing show?
He's like dancing with some woman.
It's
that?
A reality competition show that's on Fox right now where they have Tyler Cameron and a few other people trying to recreate scenes from a 35-year-old movie called Dirty Dancing. Well, and that's the competition.
Oh, God, they're hurting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's correct. I mean, that's just some bad. Okay.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Wait, why do you love Tyler?
Why?
Tyler. So we have this is our thing. We just, whenever we talk about Tyler, you have to be Tyler. So
you have to be.
Fuck, dude. Like, fucking love New York. It's dope. It's fucking huge buildings and shit. Miami's dope, though. Like, honestly, like, I miss the tall buildings.
It's just been, dude, life's just been sick, dude. Like, me and Matt have just been, like, broing down left and right, up and down the East Coast, to the Hamptons, to the Keys.
It's cold as shit up here, but man, the girls are banging up here.
And
man,
everywhere still has good pizza.
Pizza's unreal. I wrote a book, which is really cool. Because I always just wanted to share kind of my journey in life and shit.
Jesus Christ.
So that's like our, you know, our view of Tyler. And that to us
that had a lot
is
of
like,
Florida references.
Tyler and Matt, though. And Tyler, me, that's the idea of Tyler and Matt being best friends.
Yep.
And like Matt's rise into the Bachelor world was just simply by association to Tyler Cameron.
Yes.
Who also is like, you know, I'm just going to talk about the way Beck and Jess talked about it, which is Tyler was like their wet dream of a Bachelor contestant, of a construction drop dead gorgeous construction worker who majored in dance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And his
on paper,
his video presentation was him dancing, like flash dancing through a construction zone.
Yes.
Shirtless. Where it was like, okay, yeah, he broke all the, you know, he did it. He broke all the fan internet, whatever. And then Matt gets brought up into it just by association. And they're roommates. And we were like, as just roommates, just like dating, like just literally dating supermodels, partying nonstop, and then like you guys are just these like tuxedo bachelor, ex-bachelor contestants who are now like in this whole other tier. But we're like, they're just total.
Well, what I love about
you guys
about
are similar. You both have beanbag chairs.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying. They have a slip and slide going out of their room into the kitchen.
Do they really?
I would imagine.
I imagine he has a car bed.
Car bed.
You know what I mean?
It's like a bunk bed, car bed.
Yeah. But like what I love about Tyler too is that like he's just one of those guys that's so good looking and so unaware of like the depths of life that people are going through, like the anxieties and the struggles of just what it means to be a human being, because he's just like, fuck, I'm shredded and I'm hot. Like, let's hang. And like, that's his existence. And so I just love watching him. Like every time you see him, he's just like, oh yeah. Like that's just his life. Everyone else is like, oh, what should I do by my work? And oh my God, my girlfriend's mad at me, or my husband's like, we haven't talked in a while. Like everyone's like COVID. He's just like, dude, I'll write a fucking book, man. Like he's just existing. And every time you see him, he's having the time of his life.
Yes. There actually, was in peak COVID, like when the lockdown was probably 6 months
deep.
Just
like raging in Miami.
Did you see that? Him and Matt James went to an NFL game and they're like smashing birthday cake and he's just pouring beer on their heads.
And that was like during the Hannah Brown.
That's why
like
we're
boats
obsessed
and,
with them.
Yeah.
It's like,
they just don't play
just
by the rules
that.
Of humanity.
No. So they we keep totally trying to have him. We keep doing this, like we describe them how we did, and then we keep begging them to come on our show.
That's a good idea.
And play golf with us.
What we're begging him is to be the Bachelor. We think that he could reinvigorate the franchise.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I think that would bring the ratings in. Because back to what we were talking about, the Instagram numbers have gone down, I think in part because of the ratings of the show, and the bubble seasons have been terrible.
The ratings have been steadily going down.
And the rise of TikTok, too. They've taken away a lot of Instagram.
Makes sense. Who? Okay, so now I have a question. How many people do you think go on the show that are kind of genuinely like
looking for
maybe
love?
I'll fall in love?
Zero.
You think it's Okay, so you think it's on a scale
from... Do you agree with that?
Fully committed to, like, very strategic? Or are there a couple of contestants that go on there that are, like, a little bit more just basic with it, where they're like...
Yeah.
I kind of... I mean, maybe I'll get some followers. It'd be kind of fun. It's an adventure, but, man, it would be... I mean, I do...
I think it's, like, it's a scale for sure. Everyone, though, is 51% minimum, I'm going to get Instagram followers.
Right.
There might be a 49%er that's like, I'm also 49% interested in love, but you can't go into that scenario and think like, I'm definitely going to walk out of here married to that guy after I compete against these 30 other players in this weird game of psychological torture set up by a network television studio. You can't think that. No sane person thinks that.
I think there are people... A couple people who don't go on for Instagram followers.
My boy PJ being one.
When I think about it, you know, Dr. Joe Park, for instance, he has a career already. He's a fellow doctor like us.
Yeah.
So we don't need Instagram followers. We have degrees.
Just like you guys.
That's true. You guys have experience in the field.
Mm-hmm. I've given a lot of COVID vaccines myself as well.
Right.
Oh, shit.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, so you're a little bit more on the hopeful side
Definitely.
Of it. You're more on the skeptical side of it. I've been behind the curtain. I've seen things you can't unsee.
I mean, people obviously fall in love and get married and have kids off the show and all that stuff. It does happen, but in order for you to actually marry the person, you have to win a 10-round game of attrition. You have to. If you don't win that game, you don't get the ring. And I guess in some seasons, you can also come in second place and wind up married to the person. But like Ari Leyendijk season, for example. But
they're happy.
I mean, yeah, you want to talk about somebody living in a world that doesn't have COVID or anything like that? Check out the Leyendijk Instagrams and their children's Instagrams.
I love their YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's just utopian.
Here, and so I tend to
really
put the WWE mask on because I want it to be true. But then I remember that, like, super good looking people don't need this show. I've never met a person who's like an absolute smoke show who just is like, yeah, there's just nobody out there for me.
I'm stuck in my ways. I will refuse to believe that Shanae, aka Shankar, aka Ra's al Ghul, is not just a psychopathic supervillain that she really is. Yeah, because if Cassidy's Bane...
And Shankar comes from an autocorrect
if
over text.
Cassidy's Bane, she is Ra's al Ghul in my mind, because she's like, she's just deceiving everybody.
You can't kill her.
Mm-hmm. No, and you can't kill her. That's the other one. You can't kill... Everyone knows you can't kill Ra's al Ghul. He's immortal.
Yeah.
And you can't kill Shanae.
Who is Ra's
al Ghul? He's a Batman villain.
He's the guy in Batman, the first Batman with Christian Bale. He's like the guy trained under and he went against him.
He did, yeah. He trained Batman.
Gotcha.
Very not important.
And fakes his own death in Batman's training and then comes back.
Basically, you can't kill me.
I hope Shanae comes back.
Yeah, he's Raza. Yeah.
I mean, I could go on. I hope she comes back in season, which we sometimes see.
Because what you're saying is
what if she refuses to accept the loss?
I could see her, because she's so powerful. She could just stay there.
And see, that would really live up to this Ra's al Ghul analogy.
That would.
You both would then love a season, Jesse Palmer season, actually, our host. Season 5, there was one of the first fully fleshed out villain characters was this woman named Trish Schneider. She got the first impression rose ever. And she got cut, I believe, in the round of 6. And then right before Hometowns. And then during Fantasy Suites, she crashed another player's Fantasy Suite dinner, Mandy J. Jeffries, and slipped a hotel room key to Jesse to try to get him to go to the Fantasy Suite with her.
What did he do?
Ignore. He didn't go.
There were shots of her waiting for him, lamenting the fact that he's not coming, staring out a window in Washington, D.C. in this hotel.
I love that.
Yeah. So it was amazing.
When we see the preview of the future of the season, we see that he slept with both of somebody.
Yeah.
Are we saying that was set up? Or are we saying that, like, I mean, setting up the opportunity to hook up is one thing, but then, like, you gotta commit the act.
Or did Country Clayton have just
a real... Or does Country Clayton was just like, I'm too pent up. This season's killing me.
I mean, there have been multiple leads that have had sex with multiple players per season. This is the first time we've ever seen a lead tell the players that at what seems to be a rose ceremony. That part is manipulated. The producers pushed him into saying that for sure. I think the producers over the course of really since Ben Higgins season 20, most of the leads now will tell multiple players they're in love with them before the final rose ceremony, which obviously ups the anxiety, ups the stress. And so I think that now is very commonplace and producers give them the ability to do that.
Are there new producers?
Always there are, yeah. Mm. But the big shift came after season 23. Elon Gale was kind of the showrunner of that show for a long time. Invented Paradise. He left. And then there was kind of a power vacuum. And I think we're still a little bit in that power struggle now to see whose vision for this show really is going to take over, because it's been, in my opinion, just kind of like a let's throw some shit out and see if anything works. And nothing is so far.
So I'm more, you know, I believe more in the love stories maybe than Chad.
Yeah.
Are you two on that scale? Is one of you more cynical watching?
Oh, Ari Leindijk and... Lauren's story is my favorite love story in Bachelor franchise.
What? Why?
Well, so I refused to watch the season. I totally refused to watch the season because Becca was on it.
Yeah.
And then she was fantastic. We were like, let's, you know, basically we'll watch it through COVID. So we did. Actually, we started a Patreon to watch it. I was like, the only way I'm going to do this is if we're going to, you know, pay to play. Mm-hmm. So you guys, actually, the Patreon's still up. There's a lot of controversy on it, but anyone who didn't know that can actually go watch it. I was like, Becca, like, shh, I'm trying to watch Ari fall in love with Lauren here. And then it was also knowing that they had all these kids. I was like, dude, I was like, they're having all these kids. I was like, this is wonderful. I like couldn't help. I was like rooting for him the whole time. And Lauren, I was like, I want her to win.
I get
caught up in it.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was very invested in it. And then I was like, like a week, I was Instagram stalking them.
Because you like the beauty of the love actually working out.
Yeah. And I was teasing her the whole time, being like, yeah, you really.
This deal wasn't
but
for
even
you.
With it's them, not. How much percentage wise do you think their relationship is love? Because they have millions of Instagram followers. She has her own clothing line. They make shitloads of money, not only off of their Instagrams, but their children's Instagrams. They were making money off of all of their babies before they were born.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's a business also to them. This
they have
entire
a corporation called family Instagram vlogging. Husband.
Family vlogging is a super weird thing to me that I have like a hard time wrapping my head around. I mean, the business side of it makes total sense, but it's like a weird, like I was like, the kids cannot have their own Instagrams. Like, we're just not doing that.
What age do you think they'll get their first social media accounts? Will you guys allow it?
I don't know. I mean, we're probably going to keep them away from that as much as we possibly can.
18, 21.
I don't know. I mean, like, I made a joke the other day and someone was like, oh, Ruth at 16 is going to be like, you know, this party girl. I was like, Ruth at 16 is going to be living in the woods eating squirrel sandwiches. It's like, we're not going to be like, I don't know what world you think I'm living in, but like my ass, like that's what's going to be going down.
Well, no, she'll be chopping
if you
wood.
Call squirrel sandwiches you know, a party, then yes, yeah, she'll be a party.
Sure. She'll be a huge party.
Time, then it's going to be good.
But that is a good point. The whole like relationship becoming a business and then really it's not really about love anymore, because if you make like millions, right, and your relationship is based off, and you break up, and basically the business is over, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, right? It's not going to quite do the same thing. I could imagine, like, it'd be so difficult if you fell out of love or if it wasn't working anymore to cut that, because you're like, I'm cutting my life, I'm cutting my income, I'm cutting. So I could just see, because this is a whole new generation of people doing this online relationship stuff, where it's like, how many people are just still in love that are still like that have a million subscribers
I refuse to believe that Ari and Lauren's love isn't 100% pure.
Yeah, right. I agree.
I think it is.
I agree.
I do too.
Yeah. If you watch the show, they were fucking like, it's like
mad for
you
each
know,
other.
They were, yeah, it's like, you and see, they're special. They're both special in their own way, and they both found each other. And
I feel like they had pretty good hoojus.
Her hoojus were amazing.
Hoojus, but I was calling that from the very beginning because I didn't know for a while that he actually wound up with her till the end. But I was like, he's gaga over what he can't have.
Yeah.
I was like, Lauren is the girl that Ari's never been able to date. He's always told himself, like, he can't date a girl like that. And now there she is. And she's like super shy. She gave him nothing. Which is, I'm curious to hear you guys' take on that.
I remember in the edit, they gave a lot of silent scenes.
Yeah, I'm like, the silence exists.
But it exists for everybody. But
everyone
they
has
that. They cut in sometimes. They're making you see whatever they want you to see to build this story. But in what we're talking about with, you know, if you're there for TRR or you're there for Instagram, they're in love. For the right reasons, sorry. I think they're in love very much, and I think they love their kids, and they have a great family. They also are making millions of dollars off that relationship and those kids. Those things are both true in that case. I don't think it's an either or. And that, to me, is like kind of one of the reasons I really like this sport. I think it's far more complex than baseball or football. I used to love like MMA. I used to know everything about MMA, as much as I know about Bachelor now. Then I started watching Bachelor, and it was like, this shit's way more interesting because there's a lot, it's weirder. There's like manipulations happening. There are four audiences you're playing against instead of one. Like, it's just fascinating to me.
This season, what's your guys' take on this? Who are your front runners right now? Who's your top three?
Susie Evans.
Who the fuck is Susie Evans?
Exactly. They disappeared her from the document, but
that's what they want you to.
She's going to be the Bachelorette, I think. Susie Evans. Rachel Recchia. I have Serene Russell in my top four. And then I had Kate Gallivan, who's no longer with us.
Teddy's up there, I think.
Pimp Rose recipients do not usually go as far as First Flower. First Flower is the person who gets the first rose in the first rose ceremony on night one. Mm. Statistically, that's a better flower to get than Pimp.
That was Serene.
Thoughts on Gabby?
Yeah. Fantastic. I could see her in the top four.
She's my MVP this week.
Yeah. I think that play that she did about the estranged mother, that PTC, guaranteed her a hometown because we now want to see that mom.
Yeah. She's been kind of this one that like I never really thought of until the last like maybe two episodes where I was like, whoa, he's really into her.
Yeah. From the Baywatch.
I felt it.
Yeah.
The Baywatch really was like, whoa. Out of nowhere.
The producers are really into her more importantly. Yes. They determine who makes it to the final four, other than the top two, in most cases.
Her personality and her one-on-ones seems like the very fun.
Yeah, Gabby's an amazing, colorful narrator.
Okay,
who does a lot of the ITMs, and they're really good.
Stats-wise, has Teddy ever even had a one-on-one? Or not a one-on-one, whatever the fuck, the interview with the camera.
ITMs?
I'm sure she has. But you know what? She was cut out of the roast completely. Susie was basically cut from the roast. That makes me think that they're really high up there.
Yeah. Protection edit. Because they don't want to have that footage of them saying negative things about anyone.
Okay. All right, interrupting the bros and Bachelor Clues and Pace Case once more. Ugh, my FOMO is through the roof. Storytime broads. I had a friend in college, and one night she had a weed edible and got so high that she was convinced her fingers were crawling away from her hand one by one while they sang "When the Ants Go Marching On." And when I say my friend, I'm saying that's me. So anyway, from that day on, I had promised I would never, ever, ever eat another weed edible again because they just made me feel a little bit out of control. But after being recommended Diet Smoke gummies so many times, I finally decided to give them a try. And I will say, I am one happy camper. This is my new thing, broads. I love Diet Smoke gummies.
That's because Diet Smoke gummies deliver the perfect medium high every single time. Each gummy has just 10 milligrams of THC from American-grown hemp. You don't have to worry about launching yourself into another dimension each time you take one. 10 milligrams is a really good amount to make you feel good while still being totally in control. But you know, the great thing about gummies, too, is you can start out with half. You can start out with quarter. You could take things slow and build up, and it's not an overwhelming high.
Girl, you know that I had a little nibble at first. That's how you know you're testing it. You're testing it. I love the watermelon flavor, but also they come in blue raspberry if watermelon isn't your thing. I like to keep my gummies on hand for those moments when you definitely want to take the edge off, but need to stay alert and present. Diet Smoke is perfectly balanced and gives you just the right amount of high. I'm on one right now.
When CBD isn't enough and old-fashioned THC is too much, enjoy the smooth, smooth buzz of Diet Smoke. And right now, Diet Smoke is offering our listeners a fantastic deal. When you go to dietsmoke.com and use promo code Chatty, you'll get 20% off your entire order. That's dietsmoke.com, promo code Chatty, to get 20% off. Go to dietsmoke.com, promo code Chatty, for 20% off all their delicious THC gummies.
I did love it. Was it Mara and Sarah that had the little like young old beef?
Yep.
That was great.
That was hilarious.
That was like real. I loved how real it was because it was just like, you don't call me old.
Go home. Like that thing was like,
She's like, and go home, bitch, or whatever.
Yeah, it was wasn't like, even a roast. Yeah, it was just exactly the cougar joke. The cougar joke, which was legitimately funny.
That was my error of the week.
That was so funny. Hydrating with tequila, like all cougars do.
Just called her like an old alcoholic.
Went like full, like, that was the like Kill Bill, like. Like she was ready to just axe everybody.
And then when Mara was getting off, and she stopped the roast and just said like, "Go home, you desperate bitch."
Yes.
And then Sarah was like, "We're not joking anymore."
Like, everyone was sort of like, "Whoa!" Like you've been in a room where someone's like, people know how to tease people, and it's hilarious and it's jovial and it's fun.
Way over the top.
And then someone says some shit where you're like, "Dude, like, what is like? Did you not have siblings? Like, what's going on with you? Like." What's happening?
That's what
in your
I'm saying
life.
About like, the competitive nature comes out. That's what happened in that moment. She's like, "Oh, you think you're going to take me down on this date? No." And she didn't have the wherewithal to put it in a joke format.
Yeah,
she was just like, "Fuck you."
That was right. She stuck
it. It's not a roast.
It was like she was playing the sport and then just like punched him in the face. It was like, "I'm not playing the sport anymore."
I guess that's the devil's advocate I've been playing this whole time. Is I'm like, not everything's fake. Some of it is like now that can of worms has been opened, like. That drama is real, and the producers can just fucking sink their teeth into that and be like, "Great, let's put them in a room together now."
Absolutely. It's like, who are you watching baseball? And they start fucking fighting each other.
Right.
The game is
There's
gone
nothing
now.
Nothing
just
better
animosity.
In baseball than a full blown fucking fight.
I agree.
It's the best.
Like, I see what you're saying because there's a level of like,
something's happening.
They do know just the game. Like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Something's
game.
Always happening in baseball.
But
how dare you?
I'm so sorry.
And all of these players now know the steps of the game. When you saw, for example, on this last episode, they read off all the names on the group date. And there are two names not on it, Shanae and Genevieve. Genevieve goes, "Fuck, we're on the 2-on-1.
Right.
She knows what's
she knows
happening.
The game.
She knows how the game works. They all do.
Yeah.
She said, one of us is going home, or maybe both, because that's happened. She knew the stats.
She knew the fucking history of it, even. And when you see stuff like that, we're now in this era where, like, no player's coming into the game who doesn't know every element of the game. Mm. They might not know strategy. They might not know how to, like, maneuver through those things, but they know what's coming next at every turn.
Okay, and by player, do you mean people who are making it past, like, the first couple episodes? I have a friend of a friend, Hunter Jones, who was the surfer on Hannah Brown's season. Mm-hmm. He went home night one. He definitely didn't. He probably, like... knew of it and did a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was like, when we talked to him about it, and he was like, they just asked me to like undo my tie. And he's like, no, he's like, why would I? He's like, I have a suit. Yeah. Like, so I'm just, wearing a
suit. Like, this is
I'm
your,
not going to undo
your archetype.
My tie. And then they just were like, no time, no whatever. He was like, fuck this. The moment they asked him to play ball, he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm not going to undo my tie. That's not how you wear a suit.
He still was playing the game, though. If you have a baseball bat in your hand, you step up to the plate.
Totally.
You don't have to fucking swing, but they're going to strike you out.
So
you played the
everyone
game.
Everyone who ever walks on is a player.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it like jury duty? You go in there and they're kind of like filtering you out to pick ones. And there's a little bit, okay, you're gone.
Essentially, I mean, this is how it works. This is some experience I've gleaned from... I've started coaching players now.
Yeah, I was about to ask about this.
I have some players in season 26 who I help them design their application videos.
That's insane.
Season-long strategies, designing things to say in subsequent
appearances.
I really
hope you're collecting like a percentage of their Instagram followers on the back end. I want you to have
that's
a royalty
so
for this.
I can say nothing about anything like that, except that I'm now like using the stuff that we wrote in that book to coach players through this experience so that they can get whatever they want out of it. If they want to get married, become the next Bachelorette, whatever. And what I've learned like pretty rapidly is that the stuff we wrote in that book is very usable. It really does work. But the idea is, you know, the producers are looking, when they are looking at your Instagram in the very beginning, you apply to go on the show, they're going to look at your Instagram. From that Instagram, they're already going to start generating in their minds what they think you'll be in the show, what kind of archetype, how they can use you. Will you be a villain, a fool, a bumpkin, whatever? So you can control that. If you're a smart player in the preseason, when you're still applying, you can start to angle your narrative. What kind of player do you want to be? And then you can start to format that all through the Zoom interviews that you do with various casting producers, all the way up through the producers of the actual show, who are the ones that finally make that decision. And then even when you're in the show, you can try and control it as well. But you do have to play ball, like you're saying, with the producers. If they tell you to do something, you can make bargains with them. You can say, yeah, I'll do that limo exit that isn't the one I wanted to do if you give me extra sleep or you let me, you know, do whatever. Players have done that shit in the past. Raven Gates famously said that she gave handwritten notes she was making about the players and their allegiances to producers in exchange for extra sleep.
That's so...
That's insane.
Well, they keep you up.
They so like you start to snap.
Starve you. They like starve you and keep you up all night and just feed you alcohol.
Yeah, it's a psychological torture chamber. Because
You start to see people snap.
Yes.
That's what we're watching for.
Right, because the obsession...
Completely.
What I get fascinated by the obsession, and this is so classic, right? Like, it's like if you're, let's say you're at a job and you're not doing great at your job, but you're also not fireable. You're kind of in that middle ground. And then you're like,
I call that just having a job.
Right. You know what I mean? Like you're not overachieving. You're not trying to go for the gold, but you're also like just doing enough not to get like fired. So you're like, you're kind of just sitting around like talking shit and you're like, I'm fucking boss or whatever. Right. And I feel like that's the like middle pack that we get every season. And that's the people who get obsessed with the villains.
Sure.
When their whole life is not about pursuing the love or pursuing. They're just like, and this person says another word to me. You know what I mean? They just freak out. And then like 2 weeks later, they're gone.
An interesting thing to me is, are the villains, who are your favorite players? Are they the villains?
Some of them. Robertson.
Yeah, I enjoy the villainy. But my favorite player is Nick Vial, who I think is the greatest player that ever lived because he has the highest stats of any player that ever lived.
Highest stats. I think Caitlin Bristow is a better player. She had a higher RQ. She has way more Instagram followers. She has a, you know,
her
podcast
is insane.
She only took one season to become the Bachelorette. I mean, she's still relevant so far later.
Grocery Store Joe?
Night one guy.
Yeah.
And now look at Mr. Night One.
I know. Best Night One guy of all time.
Best awesome night one guy.
But also Night One guy.
Like that best means the worst.
Yeah. He's not.
He's most improved.
The main game. No. He's a very good Paradise player, though.
Yeah. But yeah, Caitlin Bristow, Rachel Lindsay are probably my two favorite players.
I guess not necessarily like not named favorite player. I guess it's the favorite role a player would play, or like however you assign it. Like we have the villain. What are the other role names that you guys have come up with? Who tends to be the person you love to follow the most through the season? Because like I personally, when there's a good villain, I'm like, yes, thank you. Like Crystal was my favorite player.
Yeah.
So good.
Ever. She's my top. Cause she was just like, oh my God. I love to hate someone on the show. Cause it's the only thing that I'm like really entertained by.
Yes.
Crystal was amazing. It's glitter. And her performance on that bowling group date when they lost the play for time and she flipped out was a work of art.
Needle deck.
Yeah.
She's going around calling the bastard. She's calling Ari. She's like, he's fucking needle deck. And she's like, and it was like, she's saying it to the girls. All the girls knew about it. They told Ari about it. Like, it was like, Jesus. It's just so lovely. And she was also always just like so much better than everybody in the room. She was so patronizing. And it was just like, And it was like, it was just delicious. Every single time.
Yeah.
She was fascinating to watch. And she was someone who had very colorful ITMs as well, which we're seeing from Shanae of like glitter and mic drop, you know, Shanae's those sort of things.
Out there though. Shanae's are like, I'm like, this is what Shanae is like me and Evan are constantly like, you know, this is all going to be, everyone's going to see exactly what you're saying right now. He's going to see it. All the girls are
going
to see it.
She's not going for a ring.
That's what's the sort of like, but then it's like, I can't tell in these times where she's like, he's mine or like all this stuff where I'm like, what are you even like, how high on your own supply are you of like, what reality are you in this
she's
moment?
I don't think she's high on her own supply at all. She's doing a very calculated Paradise run because she's going to be first sand. She'll be in the first group of Paradise players.
First sand.
She'll be first group of sand. She'll be in the first episode. First sand will go to whoever your third place
player is.
There's
first female sand, first male sand.
Or maybe a runner-up, but yeah.
I love that.
Shanae knows what she's doing, I think.
And if she's on Paradise, I'll watch it.
She's on Paradise. You're going to watch it.
You're going to watch Paradise anyway. You're doing a podcast about The Bachelor.
Paradise is the best.
Dabble a little bit comparatively, but have we seen, like, okay, what I'm confused sometimes, though, is when it comes to the villainy. I don't know. Are people ready for like the hate they're going to get? You know what I mean? I always trip out about that. It's like, it's one thing to do it when you're not getting actual any feedback, but like, is she aware of what she's playing?
Because we're her biggest fans.
Because I'm all cool. Because if you're like going into it like I'm the villain in WWE and like that's what I'm playing, I'm like, it makes sense. But I'm like early on, right, with Shanae and Cassidy, like Cassidy was kind of teaching Shanae, like this is what you should do, whatever. Now that might be fully fake, but like Shanae seems to be a bit of an Anakin situation. Like she's taking over.
Yes.
Like she became Darth Vader.
Oh my God.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like it was
God. Cassidy taught her the Force and she used it for evil.
Way too far.
I love that you see the Bachelor through the lens of Batman and Star Wars.
We have to understand it somehow. We have to like translate it into a language we do understand.
But it hit me today. I was like, oh my God, so she's like Darth Vader. Like you were good. Yeah. And you were just kind of going, what should I do? I don't know how to get attention. And Cassie's like, hey, you just got to get out there and be bold. And then like fast forward later, she's like killing everyone with a lightsaber.
She's
and you're like
no master.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She's like breathing through a tank with a lightsaber. And we're like, holy shit, this is way out of control.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't know if she's ready for, you know, the hate that she's about to receive. I don't know if you can be. Even Clayton, who by all rights is not really doing anything, in quotes, wrong, is getting massive amounts of hate. He's going on all these podcasts and talking about how it's fucking up his life, and he wants people to like him and all the stuff.
What do people hate Clayton for?
Keeping Shanae, which I don't even know if that's his choice. It's so not, I don't understand obviously. The hate.
Obviously,
that.
It's not. I mean, that's one of the few things that I don't like in terms of like being able to take your razor and dissect like in the show, like obviously like these people have their hands tied in certain decisions. How does the normal audience not understand without Shanae, the show is trash as far as like who are you going to get to replace that? Exactly. Yeah. What are we watching
for? We need a light.
I don't need to watch like many more of the previous seasons. I need like the show has to have this dichotomy in it of like,
friction. Yeah.
Not necessarily good, but just identifiably, just unequivocally bad.
People like to be outraged, I think. We're now in a culture, especially online, where people enjoy being outraged by things. It's why you send troll tweets at people, you know, because you're like, fuck you, I hate you for this reason, no. The show is giving us that person to be outraged by so that you can then, as you're saying, have the good part, which is like, well, I hope that this love story works out, but fuck that person, whoever the villain is, whoever the show is cutting to be the villain. And I mean, we've seen pretty traditionally, there are usually a couple of villains that go through the middle of the season and then that the main one gets kicked out. And sometimes you can build rivalries with like finalists and stuff like that as well. We saw it with in Caitlin Bristow's season.
Yeah.
Nick Viall and Sean Booth.
So good.
Sean Booth was so pissed at Nick Viall. He tuned him up to such a degree that he would not use his fucking name. He called him the other guy. He would not even say his name. That. Just like a pure power move on Vial's part, in my opinion. But at any rate.
Oh my God. Don't get this man started on Vial.
Most the, total roses, most total kisses, 2 second place finish. I mean, I could go
a
on.
A couple villains have won the ring. Courtney Robertson and Vienna Girardi had villain edits. The other archetypes that we outlined 12 archetypes in the book. There's villain, there's princess, and these are just for Bachelor, but some of them overlap. There's dynamic duo. That's definitely something that we suggest be a Becca Tilly and JoJo Fletcher, and then you can sell SpawnCon together the rest of your lives. There's a fool. There's Bumpkin, which is a Raven Gates.
Tia Booth. It's when you come from a small
lean
town.
Lean into your small
like,
town.
I ain't never seen nothing like this before.
I love those guys.
Yeah. Shanae was doing her like little home tour where it was like this super small town.
Yeah.
But she's definitely not playing up the like country bumpkin. Like Tia's open was like her shooting pistols.
Yeah.
And doing like, what was funny was like when we watched it, I was like, Tia's tight. I was like, I would hang out with Tia. And that was like, I didn't realize how hard she threw Becca under the bus.
Yeah.
And that they had beefs. Becca was pissed at me. The moment I saw it, I was like, Tia's cool.
And but then she did like, the too young to be serious attack. And it worked. I couldn't
believe
that.
It totally worked.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could see it. Ari, he was wrestling with it. He was wrestling with it the whole time. He was like, there's sometimes with the guys where I'm just like, I just found Ari very relatable. in a certain way where Ari's very transparent. I don't think that there's
he's into Becca. I relate to that.
Oh, Ari just moves. Oh, yeah, exactly, right?
I get you.
All of Ari's... Ari, I don't think... Without being too explicit, I don't think Ari made a single decision with his brain. I think Ari's a sexually driven guy. I think that's how he makes every single relationship.
But wasn't
decision.
He like a legendary lay? That wasn't everyone like it's the best sex
every
I've ever had in my
single
life.
Girl, every single Becca was even still. He's like, yeah, you're a shadow of a kisser compared to Ari. Lying
they
down.
Love his kissing. He's called
every
kissing
person,
bandit.
Ari's basically like he is a love guru.
Wow.
Ari knows what he's doing. I think he takes like three things seriously in life, which is like race cars, money, and sex.
Sounds like a rock star
that's
to me.
Too many things. You know, when Becca had her night one, she asked him, What are three things that you find exciting in life? Excitement and pizza. Yeah. He said, that was it.
I love that.
That's what I'm talking about.
He didn't even say a third
well,
one.
Well, this is really if you watched it, you'd be like, I like this guy. Compared to like all the other bachelors where they're like trying to do all this stuff and like trying to be like all these people. It's like he didn't really come on trying to like do much. He was just like, no, you guys are all supposed to be here. Like you're all committed to falling in love with me. That was like as much as he needed where he's like, those are his answers. What makes me excited about life? Excitement and pizza.
Like, dude, you just repeated the word.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Becca,
I added another
Becca
one.
Pounced on him for that. But it was very much like, I mean, she was calling him out. She was like, you have a savior complex. Like, you have all this crazy shit.
When she called him out and said, that's why you like mom.
And she loved it.
Yes.
He did like
she could see right through him. That, in my opinion, was what made her one of the greatest players of all time. We'd never really seen a player do that. Like, just break down a lead psychologically and just nail him to the fucking wall every time they got together. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, he loved it.
Yeah.
Fantastic first audience play.
Yeah, I wish we could have seen more Becca seasons. Thanks.
Sorry. she was thinking about going on Paradise, actually, while we were dating.
Yeah.
That was actually when we'd said, you know, a little behind the scenes, when we said that we love each other was when she was like, she had been gearing up to go on the show.
Wow.
And then within like a week of her supposed to be going on the show, it was like, what the fuck are we doing?
You should have put
like, why are you going on
you
the show?
You really love me, like, let me go on.
Did you guys ever discuss?
We talked
like,
about.
You can go on there and do whatever you got to do. Get your numbers up and come back.
We talked about having me contact producers and go on the show to get my girl back.
To be a skeleton.
To basically be like, I'm here to basically like come for like, we were dating before the show.
Oh my God.
It's bullshit that she's on the show. I shouldn't have never, like, I should have said all these things before she came on the show. We were like fully talking about that. And then when it came time to her to go on the show, it was like, we were like half joking, but it was like, none of this is real. This is like some far off event. I don't think either one of us expected things to accelerate the way like our relationship did even before like surprise pregnancy stuff was like, no, like I don't actually want you to go on the show. But if you do, like you can, but if you're asking me, like, I don't really want you to. And then that was like this whole emotional moment. And then she told him like, she's not going to go on the show.
But was there any moment where you were both were kind of like, look, we're going to keep our relationship going. I'm just going on there to get Instagram followers.
100 for the entire time leading up to it.
Yeah.
The entire time leading up to it was this calculated, like she came off with X. She can go on with this. It's this massive career opportunity.
Yes.
To just further further insulate that. But there's something, you know, there's an even more magical one, which is children.
Mm-hmm.
Children,
yes, the magic of children.
Oh yes, for every baby there is like very much. If you watch her thing, each kid grew her Instagram following.
Totally.
Oh, for Instagram.
Yeah, because she had. I mean, because it was like she had all the attention. It was like, you know, if anyone listens, we obviously didn't plan our children, but it was just like if you look at the way she had all this attention on her at the time she announced that she was pregnant.
Right.
That was a huge deal. That was like, that gave her just as many followers as the show did. Because
but
that was like a huge
thing. If she would have gone
on
Paradise, she could have hit a million
easily.
Because she was, it was right in that era when all those people who were
or
like,
they would have just like, or they would have given her a totally different edit.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
There's a
she
thing
could
where
still
it was
hit
like,
a million. She just needs 10 more kids.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I think what we're realizing right now is that you need to pay.
You need
for what you did to her career by impregnating her like eight more times.
If we're gonna go down this, you have to give me another one.
Because listen, since you killed her off early, you need to make up for it.
Killed her off.
I'm so sorry.
You took her out of the game in her prime.
I'm sorry for ruining your life, Becca.
Yeah, you took the athlete out of her prime. So I mean, you gotta like. You gotta do some back end work here.
Her playing years are behind her.
Yeah, it's now.
Honestly,
too late.
Though, honestly, it's you have to blame our kids. Our kids don't sleep. We both said if we had kids that sleep, we'd have another kid.
Mm.
But our kids don't sleep.
Yeah.
So we just are like, no,
right,
no more.
that's the final straw.
Yeah,
no sleep.
Pretty much, like years out, we'll have another one.
Well, I was thinking about me and him, and I was thinking about like if we were on the show from a doctor's perspective, is there any kind of like insight you could give to like how you think we do?
Depends on what season, who you're up against and all that kind of stuff. We're in a modern era now. I mean, Bachelorette players are not as good as Bachelor players. Like that is just by across the board. Got the guys are like you're saying, you know, people who have not even watched the show. Clayton himself has gone on record as saying he's only seen a few episodes.
Right.
So they're not really students of the game. I think if you walk in there with strong strategy, you can run the table at this point if you're a guy.
Interesting. So what you're saying is if we consulted our doctors, we came to you guys and said, give us, we'll read the book, but then we'll also do a one-on-one consulting.
Yeah.
We could do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, The Bachelorette's a little different. Our book only focuses on The Bachelor. The Bachelorette does have some different play styles that you need to be aware of when you're going in. And obviously, there's usually a guy every season, although they, again, in the bubble seasons, this wasn't really the case. But there's usually like a Chad Johnson type of guy in every season. A super like hyper-aggressive, hyper-competitive dude that you're going to have to like go toe-to-toe with at one point or another. So avoiding that guy is usually a very big strategy that will help you out because he will take people out with him and he'll become
physically
a villain.
And emotionally and mentally.
Exactly.
Like, there is like a terror level.
On
like
Hannah Brown season, it was Luke Parker.
But you know what archetypes you would have to be? Package deals. You'd have to be a single father, but I would say maybe a free spirit archetype for both of you. Just based on this.
I think Evan would probably do better than I would.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think I just get caught up in something and just end up saying something I probably shouldn't. And then it would turn into a whole thing.
But remember, this is not we're being played.
That's true.
So it really depends.
Also, all that matters is their opinion.
Is there like a make friends with the producers do
we
well
should go on.
Move?
Yeah.
Is that a part of it too? Like if you just like, let's say you're not really that electric, but you're hanging out and getting beers with the producer afterwards and you guys connect. And then
the producers are not your friends ever. Like I know some players think they are and some players think, oh, I'm still friends with this person. It's like, nah. The producer's entire job is to use you for ratings, period. The producers will, even in beginning casting phases, initiate like, trust building kind of techniques, these little manipulations, sending you a personal text message that they send to multiple players that they're trying to cast simultaneously.
Feel special.
Exactly. And you have to keep in mind, they don't give a fuck about you. They will recut your audio. They will cut you into whatever kind of villain they need. They'll put you in whatever place they need to put you to make that show get ratings. They really don't care. So what you basically have to do, I think, if you're going to play a strategy like that, is just be straight and upfront. You can do whatever the fuck you want to me. I want to be on Paradise. I'm here to play the game, basically. I think you tell them that going in. Colton Underwood has basically stated that's how he became the Bachelor. He told them, I'll literally do anything. Make me the Bachelor. And they did.
And they were like, we appreciate your dedication to the game. Basically, we will figure out a way to make this happen.
Exactly.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally a true dedicated artist.
It's a real crossroads moment. You're just selling your soul to the devil.
Yes. I think Vial did it to some degree. I think he was maybe a little more artful in it, but he definitely was way plugged into the... I mean, they brought him back. They let him crash Caitlin Bristow's season after he was second place in Andy Dorfman's season. Then they brought him onto Paradise, engineered a season-long run for him. Then they gave him the crown.
Yeah, he's beloved by those
Absolutely. And we believe that they engineered Rachel Lindsay as a player on his season 21, to be the first Black Bachelorette in season 13 of Bachelorette, that they cast her specifically for that purpose and told Vial, She's sticking around till hometown. She's sticking around to Fantasy Suite. She's getting the first impression rose. And that her entire run through that season, she's a fantastic player, don't get me wrong. But that there, it was mainly engineered by the producers to give us what everyone in Bachelor Nation at that point was clamoring for, the first black lead.
You guys are in television, aside from this podcast, right? You guys are, okay.
That's how we met.
Right. Really? What do you guys do?
Mostly half-hour comedy TV writing.
We met on a show called Bad Judge that was on NBC 7 or 8 years ago.
He created the show. It was on network television.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience.
That's super cool.
My dad's a writer.
Oh, cool.
That's what I get. Grew up with all that shit.
Your dad's like legend.
What kind of writer?
Legendary.
Screenwriter, screenplay.
Nice.
So he did like, he did, his stuff was, he writes a lot of cop and like law shows now. But he was like, I don't know. The shows that he wrote originally that got on, like one was called Skin. He had a few pilots that made it from like a few episodes or just one full season.
Yeah.
And then he never got into second season. And it was, a lot of it was arguing with producers.
Totally.
Type stuff. But he'd had like three original projects, I think, it made. And then since then, he's been like executive producing and consulting producer or something. Mm-hmm. He's basically leads the writer's room. So he gets brought in to do like,
that's great,
multi-season script development now.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. Awesome.
And for like a lot of it's like the closer, major crimes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
That's like, he's like found a niche in that world of law room drama.
Yeah.
Was he a cop?
No.
Total just a opposite. Hard-hitting New York cop. Yeah. I would bring my experience.
Couldn't be farther. Like,
yo, Indiana, that is like cool LA dark glasses.
Indiana, like psychedelic guy.
Yeah.
Into like
his dad's New cool
York,
as shit.
Like New York off Broadway.
So yeah, I mean, we basically, the podcast was just a hobby for us while we were working on shows, and then the pandemic hit, and we went on Chatty Broads and basically doubled our audience at that point. Yeah. So we owe everything and there was to like Broads.
No,
but we won't let them on our podcast.
That was like,
we
the pandemic like decimated.
So since you guys were in TV, have you guys ran into any like peers that were producers on the show or anything like that? Ever had like a crossover where, since you're in the space now, where you're like, oh yeah, I found out that this person I used to work with became a producer or works on the show or whatever, and then now you talk to them after and get some of those suspicions
or
confirmed?
Are you guys in the camp where reality TV is not real TV?
Oh, it's very much real TV.
Well,
what do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, in the way I remember, well, anyway, answer, I just, like, scripted shows, scripted in the sense of like, we are literally writing the words you have to speak, versus like scripted reality TV, which is like what you're arguing The Bachelor essentially is.
I mean, I don't think it's like scripted in that way. It's, some things are scripted that way. I do think producers feed players lines and ITMs and stuff. But I mean, to me, it's like, whatever. If it's on a screen, it's all content. I don't care if somebody wrote it, acted it, if it's reality TV, if it's a TikTok, it's all the same to me. But yeah, I've never come across a producer that's on the show.
I technically started watching the show because my mom's ex-boyfriend in college worked on it.
Wow. Which, do you ever call him up?
I have talked to him about it.
It's been a while, but I had a question for you.
I have talked to him about it, and he said all press is good press, so.
Yeah. I've had some meetings and stuff with various people who have ties to like high level producers from the early seasons. And I get some stories about shit that went down like in seasons 1 through 5. And I'm just like, I knew it was fucking bad, but Jesus Christ.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy shit. And it's like uncorroborated, you know, I don't know if these are true stories, but like they seem very true.
I think they are, of people just like partying and banging.
They have to be.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that about Love Island. Too. It was like the same thing, like the early seasons they were just like wasted, smoking cigarettes, just like and then like all of a sudden one day it was like one champagne every 5 episodes. I was like, what happened? And it was like, then you just liability. Got too out of control, like some stuff
just
went down.
Legal liability going on.
Yeah,
should we do Plug Something?
What's that?
Plug Something is when, so our, we allow fans, we allow listeners and followers who are also entrepreneurs to send us products from the businesses they started.
Oh, that's cool.
So we just
We just open them up. We have a good time, and it's basically we don't know what these are, so hopefully none of us get infected with some crazy disease.
It's
or
just
something.
Three boxes of anthrax.
Yeah, these have not been scanned.
Nothing. This is raw, baby.
Someone's like, "Shit, it must not be on."
It's just a human severed finger.
I literally got DM saying that Evan and I were perpetuating toxic culture.
Oh.
By being like, we love Shanae and all this. Someone was like, you are the problem.
But yeah. It's like, meanwhile, it's like, are you watching the show?
Yeah.
That's right. Promoting her as a villain.
Yeah. And I definitely don't have like 20 million viewers.
Yeah.
And we're also not like saying we love her as in she should be the golden like guide of what a person should be. We're saying we love what she does to
God
the show.
Saving the franchise.
I love what she says about ADHD. That's my favorite thing like about her.
Fucking fake ADHD, whatever.
She's been my MVP 2 weeks in a row.
That's
I
true.
I love watching her as well.
He has done that.
She's, I mean, she's very
what
fucking
did she say? This, she's like Meryl Streep, Shanae.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What a fire quote.
She's like, who's next on my hit list? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's like, you think I'm sorry? I'm not sorry for those bitches.
She's like, that was the hardest thing I think I've was the hardest thing I've ever had to do is apologize to people I don't feel like apologizing to. Thank you.
And she's gonna have to answer for all of that at the
That's what I'm saying, dude. I can't wait. It's finally it's gonna be a tell-all that I'm like, yes.
It's going to be legendary.
Yes, best episode of the whole
season. I
think
she's going to maintain her kind of not here to make friends strategy on the women's tell-all. And she's like, yeah, I said it.
Completely.
What are your options? She's so over the top. Like, I don't feel like she has any options. It's like, you can't come back. You guys, I'm sorry. I mean, she was so outlandish.
She does have an option. Shanae, if you're listening, this is your option.
Uh-huh.
You come into women's tell-all. You do tear play. You do the apology. And you blame it on the process. You say the process got me so emotionally swept up. I didn't even know what was happening. And I'm sorry to everybody if I ruined your experience. That wasn't my intention. I was just doing what the producers were telling me to do. You lay it on them a little bit and you lay it on the process a little bit. Everybody's
play a PTC.
Okay.
We haven't heard one from her.
We haven't heard her PTC yet. Play that definitely.
Or you say it was a piece of experimental art and it was a character.
Yeah.
You guys, call their hotline
because
that's a serious
Hail Mary. That'd be so cool.
We have so many experimental strategies. Some are probably more successful.
That strategy
others.
Of somebody saying at the very end, this was all an elaborate piece of performance art. I'm going to give that about 2.5 to 3 years and it will happen. Rest assured.
I believe you. I mean, everything you say, everything you guys say, I believe.
He's developing some interesting
plans. What is your, one to ten emotional gauge, would you be down to divorce Jess to go on the show just to come back and remarry her?
You mean like if Jess was a part of it? Or
no,
like
this if you were like, I'm going to divorce you to go on The Bachelor just to see, just to implement strat and see
not
how far
not
you
enough
go?
Followers now. Back in the OG days?
Mm.
No. We're going to see. I
how
think
many
we're
followers
see,
would it
we're
take
saying,
for you
know
to
what I mean?
Divorce
just to burn my life to the ground?
I think there'll be an uptick, a resurgence again. I think it's just following a real lull. I think the last few seasons were just so dry and just like...
Completely agree.
Drab in comparison. I mean, like you see, we're back to like trash reality TV.
Yeah, that's the thing when
I
you're
see
getting
sloppy
like
messes.
You want a season with no villains and everyone is pleasant to each other. You don't actually want that.
That's, I don't want to see a room full of people being like, well, I just want to apologize for whatever. I want to see someone splash their drink on someone and storm out of the room or
throw
like
throw a trophy,
throw their trophy down the hill or like, you know, I want to see the melodramatic like.
Yeah.
Angsty, just like embarrassing bullshit, basically. That's what I want, more champagne gates. I want more shrimp gates. That's what I want. That's
like,
what I want.
I'll go in there. I'll shake every single drink in that house.
I can guarantee you're going to see some more shrimp in paradise. But
we're not looking
for
beauty. We're looking for fire.
Yeah.
No, I want to see a relationship work from just like, I mean, going back, Ari and Lauren's season to me was like, that's prime.
Yeah.
From all the seasons I've watched, if you have Crystal was just like, it was good. Becca, whatever.
And the producers
Crystal
were doing weird
really
shit in it too, as well.
Super weird.
Specifically on that bowling date where they make Ari do the thing from Big Lebowski. They make him lick the fucking bowling ball in just like one of the most grotesque images the show has ever produced. They were really trying stuff artistically, the producers in that season.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Let's okay, so this is Plug Something.
All right.
Do you want to go?
Basically, yeah. These people send us stuff. We don't even know what they are, but they're usually businesses. Every once in a while, it's not. It's like fan stuff.
Every once in a while,
it's random. But a lot, it's just like, hey, here's some random stuff in my business.
What's the weirdest thing you've opened?
Not much. It was just we were already starting off
pretty good. I mean, I have no idea.
Toss it around.
All right.
We all get
to try one.
No, just have we try to emphasize that these are people's personal businesses, and we had someone who just like worked for a business send in what their business that they work for is like is. And it was like, okay,
climb on.
It was like Walmart
performance skincare, Mother Nature skincare. When you face life's mountains, go climb on.
Climbing balm. Mm.
Climbing balm.
It's a hand cream.
All right,
or not a cream, but it's a hand salve.
A lotion
basically
bar.
Yeah,
so we usually encourage you to give extra points for like special notes to say stuff, but no notes on this one, but it's just like
it can be used for skin. You put it
nice.
On it's a recovery paper thing tubes. For
so yeah, you know what's going on with this. So
yeah, this is
stuff.
This
so is when you're climbing a lot and your skin, your fingers
climbing,
get messed up.
Climbing's very, very abrasive for your skin.
Sure.
And you know, you end up trying to do a lot of things to dry your skin out. Yeah, they gave you a lot. Each one of these would probably last me a full year.
Nice. Well, thanks for go climb on.
It's gonna work.
Thanks
you guys
sending.
Did a good job branding.
This is really
this is nice
really
packaging.
Clean.
It's all you know, sustainable, biodegradable.
Sweet. Next.
Oh, look at that.
You got a nice little letter. Let's see, lotion creme. There's all sorts of shit in this.
All right. Hey, bros. As a longtime viewer of the podcast, I couldn't help but notice you're looking a little crusty. As a fan, I feel it is my civic duty. Love it. To decrust you. In this package, you will find some cosmetic and beauty products, including foundation and our sustainable glass packaging, reusable makeup remover wipes, our new organic lemon lip scrub, and our signature hand and body soap in our brand colors.
Wow.
Everything. EVXO offers
amazing.
Falls into the category of vegan, organic, gluten free,
mineral mascara.
All the above. Good luck, Godspeed.
Some
PS,
soap.
These products not be to your standards. Maybe pass them along to the broads as a nice present.
Definitely.
Secret broads.
Makeup remover pads. Foundation. Buildable foundation. You want some of this?
You want this? This is nice.
Check this out. Check
makeup
this stuff
remover pads.
Please don't throw these at me.
Oh, nice catch, by the way, around a mic.
Yeah.
Bouillon. What is this? Buildable foundation.
Yeah, buildable foundation.
Dewy Fresh. Lip scrub. More lip scrub. These are all things.
Oh, reusable. That's nice.
It's really well branded, though. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, but how dare you come on our show and call us crusty? Although I do like this watermelon sticker. That's nice.
That is nice.
Never want to start with an insult. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Go for it. It's
rip it open.
Ready to go.
It's like Christmas.
Oh, there's a note. Chatty bros. First off, I am super stoked that you two are going to be doing weekly podcasts. Me too. I stumbled across the Chatty Broads podcast shortly after giving birth last year and quickly began looking forward most to y'all's episodes as they provided the much needed comic relief in those early postpartum days. Second, you both are looking crusty.
No. Shut up. That was really good.
I'm a painter and bookmaker and wanted to send in a few of my hand-bound journals for your Plug Something segment. Each journal is filled with blank, mixed-media weight paper, so they could be used as a sketchbook or photo book, too. And the covers are made of either hand-printed paper or upcycled books. I'm also including a discount code for the fellow journal and sketchbook-loving Chatty Broads and Bros for 15% off. Nice.
Way to plug.
I can't read this.
This one's sick, dude.
JessReem.com.
Mine's
code Chatty Nation.
Yo,
this one's awesome.
What did
they
you
recycled
say?
An old book on here.
Let's give them a proper plug. What was it again? I'm sorry.
The code is Chatty Nation, and the website is JessReem, JessReam.com.
Wow.
Yo, this is
really cool.
Tight. You know, I made Becca books for Christmas last year.
You made them? That's cool. It looks hard.
Made them from scratch.
Oh,
there's a little poetry in there, too.
Yeah, there's a little poem in here.
Wow.
You know, that could be your limo exit. You could make a book from scratch for the
Bachelorette. This is also from, she used dictionaries, pages. Fill me with beauty. Fill me beautiful. Fill my pages with sketches, musings, and all
oh
that resides.
Oh my god!
I
know, right? So they're like nice.
Amazing. Thank you guys for sending this.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful stuff. You got some climbing stuff you can take to the gym.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll last you at least 5 to 10 years.
No, wow. You know, we'll put it in the gym. We'll put it out there. I like someone's going to be. It's going to be straight to their right to their target audience.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much for
thank
coming
you
on.
Both this for has having been us. This is so
personally,
fun.
I this think we should fun. Do like they should be like our correspondents.
For real. We should
like,
be zooming back.
We just
back
zoom
and
you
forth.
Go just hit you like, yo, can you guys do 20 minutes on this episode with us every once in a while? And you guys could
sure.
be like the
we'll do
it's
it.
Like the doctor. We bring the doctors in to discuss certain topics.
The doctors.
Yeah. I'm down to be the doctor.
I'll be your fake doctor.
Please. I've been
nothing fake about this.
I haven't been to the doctor in years, so there this is going to be the only doctor.
MD should be behind both your names on this book.
Go buy this book, How to Win the Bachelor. This is fascinating. Seriously. So are you guys do hardback and soft, or is it just hardback?
No, it's just hardback. The thing you have is like the advanced reading copy.
This is the advanced reading. So you guys aren't a special, but you guys can get this one. It's signed now, by the way.
Well, there is a Kindle version and an audiobook, which we read. We did the audiobook. Wow. So.
Oh, really? With your voices?
Every other chapter.
Amazing.
That's all right.
That is awesome.
If you like listening to us on
not,
podcast.
This one won't be up for grabs. This one's going to be on display.
This is ours.
For
it's
our
signed.
Evan
us.
And I are going to design our own set, and we're going to have this will be on it.
Yes. What, nice. What is going to be the set?
Just so much of Star Wars and Batman.
Yeah.
No, so far, we've talked about having like a chair that's shaped like a hand.
Just real like
ooh.
Shitty. You
and
know?
Then
like,
oh. It's sort of like think about like Spy Kids.
Like a
just
high
us
heel
on a
chair.
Spy Kids set.
Nice.
Or is us. What I would want.
I wanted us to be in a race car bed together, but I just think that's not going to work out.
Race car bed, hand chairs. We talked about dartboards with Jess and Becca's faces on them, which would be cool.
Nice.
It'd be fun.
Because sometimes
cathartic.
We come on here and we bitch, you know?
Yeah, we have to. We're their shitty husbands.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the hand
boyfriends.
Chair has a little bit of... It appeared in a Men Tell All season. I forget which season it was, but there was a guy that season that they called the Tickle Monster. And they made him sit in a hand chair at the Men Tell All.
I mean, there
the
might
dart
be a
dartboard
nod.
Also. There was Raven Gates was on a date with Nick Viall, and they went on a date at a bar. And Nick Viall used her as a human dart and put her into the dartboard.
What? How does that
so
even
so you guys
work?
Could do that to
he
each other.
He held her up and used her just kind of like a... He just ran at the dartboard with
like
her,
a
and she had a dart
log.
Held out
cute.
Like this.
How romantic.
Yeah. So, cute idea for your dartboard.
Battering ram.
Give him a little kiss, maybe.
Yeah, I like that
bullseye.
Idea. Yeah, it's like, it depends on the day. It's kiss
exactly.
or bullseye.
Yeah.
But thank you, guys. We appreciate
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thanks
so
for having us.
So much. You guys are hilarious.
Thanks for having us.
That was a blast. And we'll see you next week. Chat soon.
Bye, you guys.